and welcome to episode number 33 of The Art of Med School, where we help creative minds understand medicine. Today, we are going to be talking about Wiskott-Aldrich immunodeficiency, buying a car, a saga, and hyper and hypothyroidism.
Let's add another immunodeficiency to our list of immunodeficiencies that we know all sorts of stuff about. This time we're going to do Wiskott-Aldrich immunodeficiency. Normally, when I introduce a disease, I break down the name to help understand how the name of the disease tells you what's wrong. Wiskott-Aldrich, just the people that discovered it, not really helping with naming. But in the main problem, so last time we talked about Brunn agammaglobulinemia, and the main problem was B cells. This time with Wiskott-Aldrich syndrome, it's going to be T cells. And the problem is they're membrane-bound receptors, and they can't recognize foreign antigens, which means that they can't go ahead and activate other cells. And since T cells are the main thing in that pipeline, main thing signaling, that really slows the works down. So, similar to Bruton's, which again was B cells, we see smaller T cell areas and like levels in lymph nodes and peripheral blood. And this leads to a decrease in IgG and IgM and an increase in IgA and IgE. IgG and IgM are the main immunoglobulins in our response, so that's the deficient reaction. Wiskott-Aldrich also does some other kind of interesting things, like presents with a classic triad with thrombocytopenia, which makes sense, but it actually has purpura and bleeding because the platelets are so small. Eczema, because of the high IgE, which releases like histamine and can cause that. It increases vascular permeability. Recurrent infections because of the low IgG and the IgM. There's also an increase in autoimmune diseases and in malignancy, which is actually something that you see with a lot of immune deficiencies, is increase in autoimmune diseases and whatever kind of malignancy. And also, this is X-linked recessive, so it's going to be primarily males. Man, that ended up being really short, but that's all I got for Wiskott-Aldrich immunodeficiency. Not a terribly complicated one, so I hope you enjoyed it.
Make sure you check us out on artofmedschool.com. We have a ton of more information, blog posts, any of our past episodes that you might have missed, as well as some really fun underwater photography that Mike has been working on. There's some cute photos of fish. So check us out on artofmedschool.com. Okay, so a lot of people have asked me this question, do we need to buy a car? And that really just depends on you and your lifestyle and how close you want to live to campus and all that stuff. And also probably a lot to do with your personal habits regarding having a car. So first of all, Mike and I are from the Midwest where everybody has cars and everybody kind of has to have cars because we build out, not up, which is a terrible model and blah, blah, blah. But we're both used to the independence of having a car. And we also chose to live farther away from campus than a lot of people. And so the transit system is just not really quite set up for that, and we are too far away for the transport that the school does. I would say a few people on campus go through and purchase cars. Not a lot. I would say that the majority do not. The majority definitely do not. But it's really nice to have one. And ultimately, we decided to go with one. And a lot of that has to do with the proximity that we chose to live from campus. And we really love living in the village where we were. And so it worked out for us to purchase a car. But man, has it been rough. So I went with our buddy Ian, who's local, to purchase this vehicle. And all we did for 2 days, we walked around a lot, and looked at what cars might be parked on the street with signs that said that they were for sale or not, and calling up buddies who had leads. And, you know, there's no like used car lots where you can just like go. And so it was this arduous and terrible process. And then this old Rasta man, I kid you not, this old Rasta man came up and he was like, "Hey, why are you so vexed? What's the problem?" And we're like, "Yeah, we're looking for this car. And like, you know, we're having a hard time." And then the old Rasta man said, "You sit and relax and the car will come to you." And we're like, okay. So we sat and had a beer, and then magically somebody that we were trying to find a lead with pulled up in this car and they found us. The car came to us, and it seemed very, very perfect. And so we ended up test driving this car, and it looked great. And organizing the cash for it was a little tricky, because like paying for stuff is a little tricky. But eventually we worked that all out, and it turned out to be a total lemon. And everything, I swear to God, has broken on this car at least once. We joke that this car might be a 93 or whatever the year of this car is, but average age is very difficult to tell indeed. That we've replaced the starter, we've replaced the brakes, we've replaced all four tires, I think Mike has even replaced like the majority of the engine. I don't even know what has broken on this car so far. So, I mean, you know, just like anything else, the more you spend on a car, the more, you know, the easier it'll be. And we kind of spent not so much on this car, but we have put so much time and effort into this dang car. But I think ultimately at the end of the day, even though it's not a particularly reliable automobile, it's really nice to be able to have that freedom to be like, yeah, you know what? Let's go snorkeling this weekend. Or, yeah, you know what? Let's go to the waterfall and let's do this. And not having to figure out one more thing. And I think that it gives us a feeling of independence, even though, man, trying to figure out this car has been a hot mess from time to time. So, if you are not the tenacious type, I would suggest living close to campus and, using public transportation and cabs. I don't even want to think about how many cab rides we could have paid for if we had not purchased this vehicle. But ultimately, I like to believe that we made the good choice. So, take it or leave it. Buy a car? I don't know. I might not be the good judge at this point.
We launched our Patreon account. Please go check it out. You can find a link on our website or just look up Art of Med School on patreon.com. This is a great way to support us as we work hard to make the most and best content possible. You can find more information on our homepage at artofmedschool.com. And every little bit helps. Thanks.
All right. So we had talked about the thyroid gland and all the different parts of the thyroid gland. And we're going to pick up with that conversation right now. Because like it's fairly in-depth. So we're going to talk now about what can go wrong with the thyroid gland. And there are two things that can go wrong with the thyroid gland. It can either work too hard or it cannot work hard enough. And that is called hyperthyroidism, which is too much, and hypothyroidism, which is not enough. So that probably just makes sense, right? Because hyper means a lot and hypo means not enough. Thyroidism, thyroid. Okay? So, you know, the more we do this, the better that you can make the language make sense, the easier life gets. So the first hyperthyroidism I want to talk about is nodular hyperplasia. And basically, it's a tumor-like nodule that comes up on the thyroid gland. So a tumor is just sort of like neoplastic, new growth. And that's essentially what this is. It's just but little nodules that arise all over on the thyroid gland. And it makes them constantly secrete because they're made of that tissue. And that's called nodular hyperplasia. And the most common hyperthyroidism is Graves' disease. What happens is that there's autoantibodies, so antibodies that, you know, from your immune system against thyroid stimulating hormone receptors. So the thyroid stimulating hormone, TSH, is what signals the thyroid to actually release. And this one is kind of interesting because usually when we have an autoantibodies against something, it means that it's going to destroy them or it's going to block them or it's going to inhibit them in some form, right? Well, in Graves' disease, those autoantibodies against those thyroid-stimulating hormone receptors bind and they actually mimic the effect of thyroid-stimulating hormones. So they bind and make everything active, which is kind of really neat. Both of those make something called thyrotoxicosis. Toxicosis being toxic, thyroid, right? Which is enlargement of the thyroid gland. That's really, it's a goiter. We're making a goiter. You get bulging of the eyes, tachycardia, warm skin, and these little fine-fingered tremors. So let's take a look on the flip side of that then. What's hypothyroidism? Well, obviously, hypothyroidism is not enough of the thyroid doing its job. Things that we see in adults are like decrease in the basal metabolic rate. So we're going to gain weight because our metabolism isn't working so well. We're going to see hypothermia and cold intolerance because our basal metabolic rate goes down. We're unable to generate energy, and energy is heat. You get dry, cold skin. You get a reduced heart rate. If this is something that happens in a child, you get cretinism, which are like birth and growth defects that are specific to iodide deficient places. You get respiratory distress syndrome. You get poor feeding. You can have an umbilical hernia. You can retard their bone growth, and they can be mentally retarded because of the hypothyroidism. The most common version of hypothyroidism, because this one doesn't come up as much, is Hashimoto's disease, which has autoantibodies against thyroid peroxidase. And that's what is, if you remember, that's part of what makes the thyroid hormone itself. So you get the progressive destruction of thyroid follicles. And that's kind of the nutshell of hyper and hypothyroidism. Oddly enough, and I didn't really plan this out, that is a big part of my lecture for tomorrow that I'm going to be giving tomorrow from the day that I'm recording this. So good thing I had a chance to review it before then.
There you have it. That was episode number 33 of The Art of Med School, where we help creative minds understand medicine. Today we talked about Wiska Aldrich immunodeficiency, buying a car, a saga, and hyper and hypothyroidism. Our theme music, Urbana Matronica Wooyah Mix by Spinning Mercata, is copyright 2011, licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution License. This show is not affiliated or endorsed in any way by St. James School of Medicine. Micah just goes there. The Art of Med School podcast is part of the Art of Med School Network. For more information, find us on the web at artofmedschool.com.